So the Stylers were moving up here from Denver, responded to an ad to Nancy Pfister. Nancy Pfister and Kathy Carpenter had been friends for 7 years. And Kathy was sort of a go-to friend for Nancy Pfister. She wasn't a personal assistant. She wasn't a bookkeeper. She was a friend who helped her at times. Nancy Pfister liked to leave during the winter and get away from the cold. She would go to warmer climates. She had previously rented out her house to other people and with various degrees of success. This time the Stylers came up. They wanted to meet Nancy Pfister's group of friends. They wanted to come in and get involved in Aspen and set up a spa in the house. They started moving things in October. On November 22nd, Nancy Pfister left for Australia. The Stylers paid some money, is my understanding, directly to Nancy Pfister at that time. They made a later payment and had paid a total of some $12,000, $6,000 of which was held by Kathy here waiting for her. And there were communications back and forth, so there was notice of that. Things started going bad between the Stylers and Nancy Pfister right before she left. They continued to get worse. Nancy Pfister emailed the sheriff from Australia about wanting to get these renters out in January. The Stylers quit communicating directly with her. A local lawyer was involved, and it was decided to change keys to the closet, Nancy Pfister's personal closet, where ultimately she was found. A local attorney, John Beatty, helped coordinate that, and two keys were given to Kathy Carpenter. Nancy Pfister was scheduled to stay in Australia until May because of either this trouble with the Stylers or possibly other reasons, maybe as simple as she was tired of Australia. She decided to come back early. She had had it with the Stylers. She told them to vacate her house, get out of her house. She gave them very short notice, a few days notice, and this was right around the 19th, and said that you have to move all of this stuff out. And Nancy Styler had 6 commercial sewing machines, because she was also a seamstress, and spa equipment in the basement, and it put a lot of stress on them, I think.
19th of January?
February. Nancy Pfister came back on February 22nd. Kathy Carpenter went and picked her up from the airport. Kathy Carpenter let the Stylers use her Subaru to move because the Stylers owned a Jaguar. And actually picked Nancy Pfister up in the Jag from the Aspen Airport, Saturday the 22nd. Drove her back to her home, helped her unpack, stayed with her Saturday. On Sunday at approximately 2:30 in the afternoon, Kathy drove the Jag down to the base of Buttermilk and exchanged cars back, got her Subaru back. At that time, Nancy Pfister had sent her to leave her demands with the Stylers and sent her with a list of demands that included paying either $13,000 or $14,000 before she would release any more of their property, and all their spa equipment and commercial sewing equipment was up there. Kathy Carpenter describes it as William Stylar just shook his head and drove off. Kathy then went to see a friend and then went and did some shopping for Nancy Pfister and herself, and that was something she would do occasionally. And I forgot to mention Gabe the Labradoodle, because Kathy and Nancy co-parented, they called it, shared a Labradoodle, Gabe, and Kathy would take him on the weekends or take care of Gabe when Nancy Pfister was doing other things. And all the time she was in Australia, Kathy would go up to the house on Fridays when she got off work, keep Gabe for the weekend, and bring him back on a Sunday. So that was her visits back and forth to the Nancy Pfister's house during the time she was in Australia.
Was this a romantic relationship?
Between Nancy Pfister and Kathy Carpenter? No, it was not. It was a friendship.
Why did they share a safety deposit box?
You know, they were both friends. It wasn't long before Nancy Pfister went to Australia, maybe a few months before, she wanted Kathy, to be on her safety deposit box. Nancy Pfister had actually been on Kathy Carpenter's safety deposit box for a longer period of time. They're just two adults, and you fall back on a trusted person, and it was nothing more than that.
Okay.
But that's all that they weren't on each other's accounts. There was no bookkeeping or anything like that. They were friends. Kathy helped Nancy out at times, but it wasn't an employee relationship. It was just a friendship, and it had been going on for 7 years. On that Sunday, Kathy went down to Whole Foods, to City Market, and to Paddy Wax for some Gabe supplies, and came back up and put Nancy's groceries in the refrigerator, and was going to go home go to work the next day. Nancy talked her into staying, and they watched a couple of videos together, and Kathy slept on the couch. The last time she saw Nancy woke up at between 1 and 3 in the morning, sometime around there, actually texted a local individual who confirms that, saying, "Hey, I'm back from Australia, come and see me."
Greg, I'm sorry, what day is this?
This is early Monday morning.
Okay.
And then Nancy was jet lagged because she just got back from Australia. So that probably explains why she's up at 1 in the morning. She told Kathy that in the morning she wanted Kathy to take Gabe out and then close the dog door. And the reason to close the dog door is because Gabe chased cars down the driveway. And put a sign up that she's jet-lagged and sleeping and do not disturb her. Kathy left and put the sign on the door and went back and went to work. She was at work all day Monday at Alpine Bank. In the meantime, Nancy Stiler was calling because Kathy became the go-between, the in-between person. And the information Kathy got on Monday was, we talked to several lawyers. We talked to some lawyers. This is the Stilers reporting to Kathy. We talked to several lawyers, and they said Nancy doesn't have a right to kick us out of the house right now because we were renting it. And we're going to go up there with a civil standby and get our stuff back. And Kathy said, that's a good idea. You guys just work it out. And that's what she thought. On Tuesday, Nancy Stiler called and said, we went back up there and Nancy's gone and it's weird. And Gabe was there by himself and there was food in his bowl, like as they put extra food in his bowl. And there's a bad smell in the house. And I don't know Nancy is, and said something like, do you think she did herself in? And Kathy goes, no, she wouldn't do that. And it is weird she left Gabe, because she would call me. So there's a couple of calls like that on Tuesday. On Wednesday, they go back.
Can I ask a question? Are all those calls from Mrs. Styler?
Mrs. Styler to Kathy Carpenter. Yes, they are.
I'm running short of time. Can you just capsulize how your client reacted to the... I'm sorry, I don't have time to stay for all the details.
Okay.
Give him something punchy.
Yeah, and you can go back to it. I apologize. there's still a prosecution, so there's a possibility of charges could...
Sherry said that.
Yeah.
She said it at the end. When asked, could charges be filed, she said something like, there is a possibility.
Yeah, how do you react? She was held for like 100 days with...
How do I react? It was wrong. It was wrong. She's innocent. It was wrong. And I'm going to point out where they got off track.
Do you think they had any reason at all to?
I'm going to point out where they got off track and what they started thinking and why they were, how it's wrong.
Okay.
How egregious is this in your legal career?
In 32 years, I hope that's right, in 32 years, I have not had a case like this.
Just the level of error?
Yes.
What about you, Kathleen?
Well, not 32 years, but almost. No, it's the level of error. And, you know, it's not that people didn't work hard, because I know the prosecution gave kudos for hard work. There was hard work, but as you're going to see, if you stick around, they got seriously off track in a way that results in innocent people being convicted. And, you know, that Kathy was in jail for 96 days without bond, it could happen to anybody. And I think you will see that, and it's just not right. I'm very, very disappointed in the criminal justice system in this case.
Can I just have both of you say and spell your names?
My name's Kathleen Lord, L-O-R-D.
Co-counsel. Okay.
Greg Greer, G-R-E-E-R.
Greg with one G on the end?
One G.
Okay. And Kathleen with a K.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Apologize.
Can you describe her reaction when you told her the charges were going to be dropped?
Tears. And I think she's still stunned that she worked as a bank teller for 20 years and got swooped up out of her life. She's an unemployed homeless person now. And the reason she is, because she called 911. That's the reason she's in there, because she called 911.